Let's read together 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 1 through 43. In this chapter, we have Solomon's dedication of the temple to the Lord. Let's begin by reading the first 21 verses. Now Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel, to King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled to King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethanim, which is the seventh month. Then all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. And they brought up the ark of the Lord, the tabernacle of meeting, and all the holy furnishings that were in the tabernacle. Priests and the Levites brought them up. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who were assembled to him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for multitude. Then the priests brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place, into the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most holy place, under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread their two wings over the place of the Ark, and the cherubim overshadowed the Ark and its poles. And the poles extended so that the ends of the poles could be seen from the holy place, in front of the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from outside. So they are there to this day. There was nothing in the ark except the two tablets of stone which Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass when the priests came out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Then Solomon spoke. The Lord said he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell in forever. And the king turned around and blessed the whole congregation of Israel while all the congregation of Israel was standing. Then he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who spoke with his mouth to my father David and with his hand has fulfilled it, saying, Since the day that I brought my people Israel out of Egypt, I have chosen no city from any tribe of Israel in which to build a house, that my name might be there. But I chose David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of my father David to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, Whereas it was in your heart to build a house for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the house, but your son, who shall come from your loins, he shall build the house for my name. So the Lord has fulfilled his word which he spoke, and I have filled the position of my father David and sit on the throne of Israel as the Lord promised. And I have built a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And there I have made a place for the ark in which is the covenant of the Lord which he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Let's consider a few background notes as we begin our study of this chapter. In chapter 6 and 7 of 1 Kings, we had the construction of the temple and its furnishings. Now here in chapter 8, we have the Ark of the Covenant brought into the temple and the temple dedicated to the Lord. The Ark of the Covenant was placed in the new Holy of Holies in the temple under the wings of the large golden cherubim. Verse 9 says that there was nothing in the Ark except the two tablets of stone which Moses put there at Horeb. What about the manna and Aaron's rod that were also kept in the ark, according to Hebrews 9:4? Remember, the writer to the Hebrews was speaking of the ark as it was in the tabernacle. Apparently, these items were no longer with the ark at the time of Solomon. We don't know what became of them. Now that the ark is at rest in its rightful place, we read in verse 11 that the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. That brings us then to our doctrinal points for this portion of 1 Kings chapter 8. Doctrinal point number one, when the ark is in its rightful place, the glory of the Lord will be seen. When the ark is in its rightful place, the glory of the Lord will be seen. Look back at verse 6. Then the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord to its place, into the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most holy place, under the wings of the cherubim. And verses 10 and 11. And it came to pass, when the priests came out of the holy place, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. The Ark of the Covenant was finally at rest in its rightful place. We learn from Deuteronomy chapter 12, that God's intention was not that the ark should continually travel, as in the wilderness tabernacle. No, when the children of Israel came into the promised land, the ark was to come to rest in the central sanctuary, in the location that God would choose. That time had now come. God chose Jerusalem, and the temple was now finished. And we read that when the ark came to rest in its rightful place, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The Ark of the Covenant, as most of you know, is a type or picture of Christ. The Ark in the Holy of Holies was the meeting place between God and man and pictures Jesus our Lord as the only mediator between God and man. See 1 Timothy 2:5. The blood of the atoning sacrifice was placed on the mercy seat of the Ark in order for there to be a relationship between God and his people. What a picture! It is the shed blood of Christ and his finished work on the cross for our sins that makes it possible for us to have a relationship with God. So the ark is a picture of Christ. And when the ark is in its rightful place, the glory of the Lord will be seen. When the Lord has his rightful place in our lives, the glory of the Lord will be seen in our lives. This is not only true in the future when we have our resurrected bodies, but it is true now. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 10 and 11 says that if the Lord has his rightful place in our lives, even to the point of our suffering for his sake, his life will be seen and manifested in our mortal flesh. People will see God's glory in our lives. When the ark is in its rightful place, the glory of the Lord will be seen. Doctrinal point number two. When the ark is in its rightful place, the prayers of God's people will be answered. When the ark is in its rightful place, the prayers of God's people will be answered. Verses 22 through 43. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on earth below like you, who keeps your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you with all their heart. You have kept what you promised, your servant David, my father. You have both spoken with your mouth and fulfilled it with your hand as it is this day. Therefore, Lord God of Israel, now keep what you promised your servant David, my father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man sit before me on the throne of Israel, only if your sons take heed to their way that they walk before me as you have walked before me. And now I pray, O God of Israel, let your word come true, which you have spoken to your servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built? Yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication, O Lord my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant is praying before you today, that your eyes may be opened toward this temple night and day, toward the place of which you said, my name shall be there, that you may hear the prayer which your servant makes toward this place. And may you hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel. When they pray toward this place, then hear in heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. When anyone sins against his neighbor and is forced to take an oath and comes and takes an oath before your altar in this temple, then hear in heaven and act and judge your servants, condemning the wicked, bringing his way on his head, and justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. When your people Israel are defeated before an enemy because they have sinned against you, and when they turn back to you and confess your name and pray and make supplication to you in this temple, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them back to the land which you gave to their fathers. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, when they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you afflict them, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel, that you may teach them the good way in which they should walk and give rain on your land, which you have given to your people as an inheritance. When there is famine in the land or pestilence, blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, when their enemy besieges them in the land of their cities, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made by anyone or by all your people Israel, When each one knows the plague of his own heart and spreads out his hands toward this temple, then hear in heaven your dwelling place and forgive and act and give to everyone according to all his ways, whose heart you know. For you, only you, know the hearts of all the sons of men, that they may fear you all the days that they live in the land which you gave to our fathers. Moreover, concerning a foreigner who is not of your people Israel, but has come from a far country for your name's sake, for they will hear of your great name and your strong hand and your outstretched arm when he comes and prays toward this temple. Hear in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, that all people of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name. In Solomon's great prayer of dedication that we have here, we see that he made a number of requests of the Lord. All of these requests were in line with the Word of God. Remember, the Bible that Solomon had was the book of the law. Read the book of Deuteronomy, and you'll find that Solomon is praying in line with the Word, something we should always do. After acknowledging God's greatness and thanking him for his faithfulness, Solomon prayed for the Lord's continued presence with his people, verses 22 through 30. He prayed that God would judge the guilty and justify the righteous, verses 31 and 32. Solomon prayed that God would forgive his people when they confess their sin, and that God would remove his discipline of defeat in battle, or drought and famine, or plague when the people turned back to the Lord, verses 33 through 40. Solomon also prayed for the God-fearing foreigners in the land, that they would also know God's blessing and have their prayers answered, verses 41 through 43. There are more requests in the rest of the chapter. And we find that as we follow Israel's history, God answered all of these prayers. Now, do you think that God would have honored Solomon's prayers if Solomon had not honored God's desire to have the Ark of the Covenant in his temple in Jerusalem? Do you see the spiritual lesson? Remember, the Ark is a type or picture of Christ. When the Ark is in its rightful place, the prayers of God's people will be answered. Let me ask you today, are your prayers being answered? Are they in line with the Word of God? And is Christ at the center of your life? When the Ark is in its rightful place, the prayers of God's people will be answered. What about practical application? Let's not limit God. Let's not limit God. Look back at verse 27. Solomon prayed, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built?" King Solomon realized that God's presence was not limited to a temple in Israel. We need to realize that while God is pleased to be in the center of our lives and fellowships and ministries, he is not limited thereby. He is a transcendent God. Some Christians limit God to themselves and their fellowships and their ministries. They almost put God in a box. Let's not distort this wonderful truth of God being in our midst by limiting him in any way. Let's not limit God.